All right. The bad thing about the Greek grammar, it is not numbered. The pages are not numbered. They are numbered, but they're numbered in different parts. I wish that they had printed it and numbered all the pages, but they don't have it, so we just have to go there. All right. We have been saying the Greek alphabet. Go to this page right here where it has the Greek alphabet. All right. The Greek alphabet. You're really getting good at this anyway. So. All right. I'm going to let you lead out in this. Okay. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the page. Okay. Here's the Greek alphabet. How you say the word is over here to the side. Over here are the seven vowels in Greek. And then there are the diphthongs over here in Greek. And then the rough and smooth breathers. And numbers and prepositions. Okay? These are very commonly used words. You'll see. Okay? So now let's say the Greek alphabet. I want you to read it. Okay? Alpha.
Beta. Gamma. Delta. Epsilon. Zeta. Eta.
Theta,
Theta.
Iota,
Iota.
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 Kappa. Kappa. Now, in Greek, it's not A, it's A. It's like in Spanish, A. All right? It's not, what my wife always says, salsa. It's not salsa, it's salsa. That's the way it is, A. It's got the A sound, okay? So it's Kappa, and then Lambda, Mu. C, pi, rho. Now that is a guttural rho. Rho, from down in your gut. Rho comes all the way deep. When you say in Hebrew, when you say we say Hanukkah, they say Hanukkah. Way deep, guttural sound. Okay. Okay. Rho.
Almost made that sound German.
Yeah. Well, that's German, same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sigma.
Sigma.
Tau, Ipsilon. All right, now let me tell you a little bit about Ipsilon. Ipsilon looks like a U in English. Okay? It sounds like a U with some diphthongs, but it is like a Y. Actually, it is like a Y. Most of the time, it is a Y, like this, a Y sound. Let me give you that in Greek.
What did you say, Ipsilon?
Or it's Ipsilon. It's the U looking thing. This is it, right here, like that. All right? Now, the name for Lord in the Bible, most people will say Kyrios. Kyrios. It's Kyrios. Kyrios. Kyrios.
So it's an E sound.
Yeah. And here's a funny one. This is the word for woman. Now, in the Germans, would pronounce this Guni. Guni. But it's wrong. That's not Guni. Okay, it's not Guni. You know what a Guni bird is?
I was going to say how apropos.
Okay. All right, it's not Guni. It is Guinea. 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 We have our word gynecologist from that. Gynecologist. Okay? It's Guinea. All right. Guinea. Like a Y, all right? G-Y, all right? Gynecologist. So we get that. Many grammars that are written by German people mispronounce the Ypsilon. They'll call it Upsilon, all right? Now, Phi. Chi. C. That's like PSI, pound for square inch. C, all right? And then Omega. All right. Now the vowels are, we have seven vowels. See, over there, same thing. Alpha, Epsilon, Eta, Iota, Omicron, Ypsilon, and Omega. All right. And then we have the diphthongs. That's two vowels that make one sound. Is this helping you guys?
Yeah.
Is it, you like this?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Mike has been wanting me to do this forever, and he has not been here for one class because he has to work. He's only going to get this on the tape. All right. And then I want you to look on over into the next page. Turn the page over. Here's where we started this last week, and I just kind of shut up a little bit because I knew it was wrong. And we have the conditionals there. Conditionals, epsilon, iota, alpha, nu, epsilon, alpha, nu, alpha, nu, and epsilon, iota. Okay, these are the different kinds of conditionals. Four ifs. A conditional is an if in English. In Greek, there's four kinds of ifs. Sometimes it's not an if at all. Sometimes it's since. And sometimes it is if. Okay? They're down there. Okay? You can see that, and they're explained there. Now let's go to Greek language terms. The only place, the only Greek grammar that I've ever seen this is in this Greek grammar. But they're in my little miniature Greek grammar. Okay? Not every term and not everything totally is in there. That is A.T. Roberts of the Grammar of the Greek New Testament in the Light of Historical Research. All right? A.T. Robertson. Actually, the man that wrote this was John A. Broadus. A.T. Robertson put it together. John A. Broadus was his father-in-law. John A. Broadus was a tremendous Greek scholar and one of the early leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention and among missionary Baptists at that time. Okay. Anyway, there you have the giant Greek grammar, and I mean it is a giant Greek grammar, and I refer to it occasionally. You can go look at it. If you're really going to study Greek in its fullest, you really need this. Okay? You've got almost everything here. Now, all of the the best analytical Greek lexicon that I've ever seen is this one. It is Zondervan's. Mine is covered up because I wore the cover completely out of it. You can get it as Zondervan's Analytical Greek Lexicon. All of my terms are all cross-referenced to this book. Okay? Now, if you really want to get the best Greek grammar that's ever been made, I revised this one. But it costs $75 to get that one printed. That's what it costs, $75 to have this book printed. And it has all of my corrections and additions to it. As you can see, I wrote in it a lot, and I corrected and added to it in many, many places. Because it did leave some things out. All right? The students, when I was teaching in the seminary, they would ask me, how do you figure that out? It's not in the analytical lexicon. I said, well, I corrected the lexicon, that's why. I know the rules, and I corrected the lexicon, and I wrote them in. That's how they're there. And then they would take their lexicon, and they would correct it along with mine. So, but I, even when I wasn't the teacher, when I was one of the students in the class, I was still correcting my lexicon at that time. There are many lexicons. Just because something is written in a lexicon does not mean it's right. Okay? We're going to get to the word sin, hamartia. What does everybody say that hamartia means? Let's hear it.
It says to miss the mark.
To miss the mark. Is it to miss the mark?
No.
No. Hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. Absolutely does not mean to miss the mark. It means to go out of the pathway. All right? Chatha in Hebrew means to miss the mark. Mr. Thayer cross-referenced it from the Hebrew to miss the mark into the Greek word hamartia, and everybody thinks that's what it means, but it does not mean that. You tell teachers, I mean, I said this for years. I'd get up and say, hamartia means to miss the mark. What? Okay, we will later. Okay, we're going to get it. All right? Hamartia means to go out of bounds. Okay? And when we studied the word for sin in the doctrines of the Bible, and I taught the class on the doctrines of the Bible, how to interpret the Bible and everything else, when we went into the doctrines of sin, we wrote all of it down. If you got your book, the doctrines of the Bible, look under sin because we have all of those different terms in there. We'll get that later. Now let's go on with this. We have to kind of concentrate on this for the next few minutes. And then, now why isn't that working? Try to make that work now. Boy. Contrary machines. All right. Greek language terms. All right. We studied this a little bit last week. We're going to go down through here and then we're going to jump and go into the Bible, okay? I just want to give you a little of this, all right? Tenses. In Greek, I remember one time my beginning Greek teacher. He was a great teacher, a great mind, a wonderful man. But when I started studying Greek, I'd think, and I'd say, now, we're studying Greek grammar. There's got to be a term for tense in Greek. And I asked him, what's the term for tense in Greek? He said, they don't have a grammar. And you know what? I was in his library and I saw A.T. Roberts' book up there, but he never opened it. Okay? He said that the Greeks didn't have any term for their own language. I said, you mean to tell me they don't have a grammar? The Greeks don't have a grammar for tense, the word tense. He said, no. Well, later on, as I read my books, if you look in A.T. Roberts' book, you'll find out that I read that book. And the analytical Greek lexicon, I read lexicons. Okay? And I chase words myself. I don't just accept something that everyone says. I'll go back and chase and find out and want to find out for myself. That's how I found out about the word hamartia. When I did, I just got me like that because my Greek teacher told me that. And I asked him later on, Brother Hubbard, do you know that hamartia doesn't mean to miss the mark? No. I said, go back and look at it. Well, he said, Thayer was wrong. Thayer made a mistake. Like, he said, young man. I called and asked him question because he was the only other Greek scholar that I knew. I called him back. He said, you can call and ask me anything about Hebrew you want to, but he said, don't ask me anything about Greek because he said, you have gone beyond me. Just forget it. He said, that's it. You know? He said, you're studying things that my teachers didn't know. And so we went on. All right, tenses. What does it say there? Can anybody read that in Greek? Chronos. We get our word chronology from that. It means it has an idea of time. Okay? Declensions. All right, declensions. You conjugate a noun and you decline conjugate a verb, that is. And you decline a noun. It is clases. Alright, clases. Places. Declensions. The word declension basically comes right out of the Greek, doesn't it? See there? Now conjugations. Conjugations. It has rhema in there, in the old one. Rhema is a verb. It means to flow. It is sin desmoi, is what it is. Sin desmoi. Sin desmoi. Now, Particles. The next one is particles. If you've got one of the old books, it says participles. That was a mistype. All right. It should say particles. Particles. And what it should say in your book is hey paratheke. All right. Hey paratheke. A particle is something you place beside. All right. A particle.
Can you spell that on the board? Because I'm missing.
Okay, hey is gone. All right, what you got is paratheke. That's all right.
That's okay.
That's okay. If you add the old one, it'll say alpha iota. It'll say, this is hey right here. All right, that's it. Hey. It's got a rough breather on it. Hey. It'll say hey paratheke. Well, in the grammar, it says hey paratheke, but you don't have to say the. It's the particles. Okay? We don't really need that hey in the front of it. Now, syntax. So guess what it is in Greek? Where do you think our term comes from? What's it say there? Syntaxis. All right, syntaxis. By the way, syntax. Is that syntax or is it syntax? Is it like the German grammar say, syntax, or is it syntax? Yes.
Syntax is also a program that corrects the program that you write.
Syntax, that means the study of sentences, how something sentences work together. Syntax. We get a word sentence from that. All right. Syntaxis. All right. Cases. Patoses. All right. Patoses. Cases. All right, and then adverbs. Epi, remata. Upon verbs is what? Upon verbs. An adverb is a helper, a verbal helper. All right. Prepositions. Prothesis. Prothesis. Preposition. Prothesis. People that have a leg cut off or arm, they have prothesis. Makes an extension. It extends from one thing into another. A preposition is helps you. We have prepositional phrases. All of this. In the house. That's a prepositional phrase. To the house. That's a prepositional phrase. With the dog. That's a prepositional phrase. All right. And then adjectives. Epithete. All right. That's the place upon. Article. All right. And I've got article down there and the definite article. Actually, you can just leave that article out. It's the definite article is what we're talking about. There is no article, basically. It's a definite article in Greek, which is to haristikon arthron. That's the definite article. And there are no indefinite articles in Greek, so, and that is an alpha, that is an A and an N, like in John 1 and 1. Jehovah's Witnesses will say, and the Word was a God. There is no such thing as a. That is a what we call a predicate nominative, and it should say the Word was the God. Mm-hmm. All right, the Word was the God. To haristikon arthron. And then the substantive noun is onomate. That means to make as a law or name. The word name means what? They'll say the nominative case, they'll call it in the name case. It used to be an old term in the name case. That's where it comes from, onomate.
To haristikon arthron?
To haristikon arthron.
It's misspelled in the grammar.
It is?
Yeah.
To?
It's supposed to be a sigma, not a
Oh, yes, it is. I see that now. I don't see as well as you do. Then you have to put a tail on that omicron there. It should be a to haristikon arthron. Okay, onomate. And then we have pronouns. Antonymia. All right. And then voice. Diathesis. That means through. All right. And then mode is eglesis. Verbal nouns is onomata tu rematos. Okay? Onomata tu rematos. Figures of speech. Gor geia schemata. To look at the schematic. Figures of speech. To look at something. A figure of speech is so you can understand it better. And then a verb is rema. A mood is a suke diathesis. The soul of the voice. Suke. Look at that. The soul of the voice. And then imperative mode is protaktike. Prostaktike. And then subjunctive mode is hypotakite. And then optative is euktike. Indicative is aristike eklios. The definite mode. All right. And then the voice is in there. Get, take, energize. All right? Active voice, that means energy in that voice. Middle voice, meso. Middle, meso. Mesoamerica. That's right out of Greek. And then the passive voice is pathetic. Patheti. We get a word pathetic out of that. And the infinitive is he, atare, Fatos ecclesis. All right. That's enough grammar for tonight. Did you learn a little something out of that? You learn a little bit of Greek words? If you'd like another grammar, the corrected ones, we've got those. Now, 7 and 19. Hebrews 7 and 19. The law didn't perfect one thing. All right. See if I can read without my glasses or with them, I don't know. Udain. All right, Udain. Gar. Etileosin. Ho. Nomos. Epesage. I'm going to start over again. It comes from epi-asinago. Epesagoge. All right.
Day.
Kratonos. Elpidos. D. Hais. Egizamen. To. Theo. Cross references to this are Acts 13:39, Romans 3:20, Romans 7:7, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:21, Hebrews 9:9, and Hebrews 10:1. Now, as we're going here, we've talked about how important the Greek text is with any translation you have. Go back to Hebrews 4 and verse 8 and tell me what's wrong with that verse in King James. Now, anybody that has King James, you tell me what's wrong with that verse. There's something desperately wrong with it.
Hebrews 4 verse 8?
Yeah. Hebrews 4 and 8.
What about verse 19?
I know, but we're going to go back. We're talking about how important it is to study. Okay? We're going to go back there and we're just going to look at something.
We'll go back to this.
Brother David, what's it say?
For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day.
One of the greatest problems that the King James people, you know, there was about 47 of those ex-Catholics that were translating this, about 47 of them. They couldn't get the name straight. We have Elijah, we have Elias, we have we've got the word Jude, Judas, all right, and Judah. All those are the same names.
Yeshua.
Yeah.
Joshua.
It's Joshua. It was not Jesus. You've changed it. You've fixed it.
But I want it the way you wanted it.
Yeah, well, that's right. But see, it would throw you now that the way they had it there, they didn't get the name right. They were thinking about, it's Jesus, all right. Okay, in Greek it's Jesus, but it's not Jesus. It's not Jesus, it's Joshua. All right? Because it's talking about Joshua. That Joshua did not lead that generation into the promised land, did he? Because they were not worthy of it. All right. They were not worthy of it. Now, here we go back. Now, as we go along here, we have to be careful how we translate it. The King James people, they would translate, they even translated instead of Isaiah, they put in Jeremiah sometimes. It wasn't Isaiah at all, it was Jeremiah. They would quote the wrong prophet.
So, Jim, which translation do you recommend?
Well, I recommend the Greek and the Hebrew. The non-translation, but a New American Standard is probably one of the best. If you want an explained translation, it's a little more than a translation. That's the Amplified Bible. It works. The Amplified Bible, I refer to it a lot because it explains the tenses of the Hebrew and the Greek. If you want the best Old Testament translation of the Greek of the Hebrew names. The Sacred Name Bible. Does anyone have one of them with us tonight? You got one of them? You got one. All right, Sacred Name Bible. That one, and it translates the Greek, or the Hebrew, that is. It translates the Hebrew correctly in many places where no other translation does. It'll translate it correctly. For some reason or other, they got that right. Better than many of them do. All right. The first word is uthen. All right? And it means, it comes from uk, it comes from day, and it comes from hina. All right? Uk, day, and hina. It means not one thing. Moreover, not one thing. For, and of course we start out with this weak adversative conjunctive particle. Okay? This weak adversative conjunctive particle. That is gar. Okay? And you can look that one up on page 1190 in A.T. Robertson's Greek Grammar and on page 75 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. For nothing, not one thing, is perfected. Ete li osena. Third person singular. First aorist, indicative active. Tele, all right, comes from teleo. Teleo means to bring to the absolute end result. All right. Nothing is perfected. God is working on you in this life. That's why He's leaving you around here. God's working on you. He's trying to make you mature. to make you the kind of Christian that can lead your family and your friends and your neighbors and all that to the Lord. They ought to see something in you that is different than other people. We talked about on Sunday morning, we talked about the Nazarites. A Nazarite, when you saw a Nazarite, what did you see? You what? They wouldn't cut their hair. And a Nazarite, when he didn't cut his hair, he meant one thing, belonging to the Lord. That's what he meant. The word in Greek is Kyriakos. Kyriakos. I have a friend named Kyriakos. That's it right there. Kyriakos. Belonging to the Lord. Belonging to the Lord. By the way, he spells his name like this in English. That ought to tell you just how you pronounce that. It's not Kyriakos, it's Kyriakos. All right? Belonging to the Lord. When you saw a Nazarite, you knew that he belonged to the Lord because he dressed differently. When they saw old John the Baptist out there in the wilderness preaching, what did they know? As a Nazarite. When they saw Samson run around, flinging around his long hair, what did they know? There's a Nazarite. He belongs to the Lord. All right? Belonged to the Lord. A Nazarite was a person that temporarily became a priest. You took the vow of a Nazarite. They started living, eating, sleeping, just like the priest. Okay? It was a special vow. You didn't have to do it. You took a vow. When the sons of Israel, they waived all of their firstborn rights, and they brought the Levites into the tribe, they laid their hands upon them, and they transferred all of their rights, their spiritual rights, upon those Levites, and the Levites were living sacrifices. A Nazarite is a living sacrifice. Okay, hold on, brother. A Levite is a living sacrifice. Today, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, we are living sacrifices of the Lord. We are those living sacrifices. We need to be different. God is moving us toward maturity all the way through our lives. He's moving us toward maturity. Brother Brett, what did you have?
Okay, Moses is a Levite, right?
What?
Moses is part of the Levite tribe?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking about how that's like a 13th tribe.
Yeah.
And it's a tribe of life.
But the Levites had no earthly possessions, did they?
No.
The other tribes supported the Levites. The Levites had no earthly possessions. What are you going to take with you out of this world? Zilch. Do you see how you are a living sacrifice today? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Someone read that for me real quick. Okay. Nothing was perfected by the law. Nothing. Are you there, Leah?
Yes.
Okay.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, fully acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
All right. There we have it. That's the law. That's the life of the Levite. That's the life of the Nazarite, and that is your life today. That's why God leaves you here. All right? For nothing in the law was perfected, and then it says, "Hold no more the law." All right? The bringing in. All right? This word was used one time in the New Testament, period. Josephus used it in his... The book of Josephus. Epi eis ago, the bringing in. The law didn't bring anything in perfect. But of the better hope, all right? A better hope. Kratonos, better. As a comparative, hope, elpides, or elpidos, all right? Elpidos. What does that mean? Elpidos. Some of you have heard me talk about this word a little bit before. This word hope is not just a hope. In English, we hope. It is a guaranteed future existence, one that is guaranteed, and we're going to find that out in just a few minutes. It is sure. It is a better hope than they had in the Old Testament. Every year they would go there, and as you looked at the video up there earlier, you saw the temple and the synagogue and all that kind of stuff. Every year they would go in on the day of Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, they would go in there and they would make their sacrifices, and when the priest would blow the horn, that means your sins were forgiven. Okay? At that moment. But when you started sinning again, you started working on next year's sins. Now, we are forgiven, period. Isn't that beautiful? All of our sins are past tense. They're all like when the horn was blown, when the shofar was blown, the trumpet was blown, and your sins were forgiven. Always. Never again to be looked at. Never begin to be worried about. We do fail. We stumble. We tremble. We stumble in our lives. But the Lord has already forgiven us.
Is this the same word for hope that Paul uses in Faith, Hope, and Love?
Yeah. Hope.
So the hope of our salvation.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed. Yeah. We're going to see that in the next few verses here. Guaranteed future and existence. Better hope. By the agency of Dia. That is the shortened form of Dia for euphony. All right. Page 90 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon, if you want to look that one up. Up which, genitive singular, relative pronoun. Okay. We draw near. Hugizo, first person plural, present indicative active. We draw near to the God. We draw near to the God through this better hope. Better hope. The common man of the 12 tribes of Israel never got near the altar of incense. Never. They never got there. They never got near it. They couldn't go in there. As you look over here to this one up here, the altar of incense was in the holy place. All right? The Kadesh. The holy place.
Sacred?
The sacred place. Okay? It was in the sacred place. They, the common man, never got there. The common man went out here on the right side of the altar of sacrifice and confessed his sins on his animal, and the priest cut his throat. They ceremonially buried the soul of that person, of that individual. It said, nephesh, lo nephesh, soul for soul. Its soul was given up for your soul. Its life was given up for your forgiveness of sins. Okay? They buried his blood. They burned the fat on the altar. They took his head outside in a clean place and put it outside. They didn't throw it in the dump because this was a precious animal. It had given its life for your sins. You need to realize that. God was giving honor to these animals that gave their lives. Should we honor the Son that gave His life for us and shed His blood? Brett.
So Levi was the only one to go in the Holy of Holies?
The high priest was the only one that could go into Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. Okay? The priests would come in there and they would take coals and offer incense on the altar of incense inside of the... Here's this rectangle here like this, okay? Here's the Holy of Holies. It's 15 foot square. 15 foot square. A perfect cube. Okay? How big is New Jerusalem? Huh? How big is the New Jerusalem, basically? How big is New Jerusalem? 1,500 miles square. 1,500 miles square. 15 by 15 feet. 1,500 miles square. Okay? So think about that for a moment. All right, you come in here. Over on the right side is the table of showbread. In the front is the altar of incense. Over to the left is the candlestick, which you saw on the video tonight. That was pretty neat. So you have an idea what the candlestick was. Okay, it's big. It weighed between 75 and 85 pounds of gold. That's a big candlestick. And it had wicks. It didn't have candles on it. It had little, like a kerosene lamps up there, except it was olive oil lamps with a little wick, and they lit the lamp, and all the light shined this way. They would take out here, the priest would go in here, and he could go into here. But only one time a year could they go into the Kadesh HaKadoshim, into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. All right? Only the high priest could go in there. Let's go over here in 7 and 20. Hebrews 7 and 20. Kai, Kaf, Hoson, U, Karis, Horkomosios, Hoi, Man, Gar, Karis, Horkomosios, Asin, Eres, Gegonotes. Psalm 110, verse 4 is cross-referenced to this one, by the way. And actually, you can translate that but. All right? Because it should be translated but. This is a stronger and. It's like a strong adversative conjunction. We have a conjunction. Chi is a conjunction, isn't it? Also, it's a particle of affirmation. You want to look it up on page 208. It tells you all the different things. But in some places, it should be translated but. And this is one of the places that it should be translated but. All right? But, according to proportions. All right? Increments. Not without oath-taking. What's an oath? What is an oath? It's a promise. All right, an oath, though. It means you're fencing yourself in to tell the truth. That's literally what it means. You're fencing yourself. You fence one. One fences himself in to tell the truth. You cannot tell anything but truth. There can be nothing but truth come out of your mouth when you take an oath. Okay? It would be nice if the courtrooms down there were like that. I see as much lying in the courtrooms as I do out on the 19th in Chester. Oath-taking. Indeed, the ones, for indeed the ones, without oath-taking, they are priests having become. Not without oath-taking, they cannot take, get to the office of a priest without taking the oath. That's what it literally says. 7:21. And we've got an A and a B there. Let's trip it along right here. Whole day. Come on, guys. What's the next one? Meta. Orkomosios. I was trying to get you to say these easy words. Okay, now the next one. Dia. Two. Legontos. Pros. Auton. Omosin. Kyrios. U. Meta me le the set te. C. Arius. Ace. Tone. Iona. All right. There's quite a bit in this one here.
Can you do me a favor before you move on?
Yes.
The last word on 720, can you put that on the board because it didn't come through?
Gagonotes?
Yeah.
Okay, it's gamma, epsilon, gamma. Omicron, nu, omicron, tau, epsilon, sigma. Like G-E-G-O-N-O-T-E-S. That's how you would say it. All right? By the way, the church printed my doctor's theses on the book of Revelation. We have them. They gave us some more back there. That's how big it is if you look back in the corner over there. It's more than a ream of paper, and they're only $15 if you want one of those. That's the book of Revelation. It's an interlinear translation like you have here, but it's on Revelation. Okay, if you want one of those, we have them, and those are available to you for $15. I don't think they're printing them for that. I think it costs more money than that.
It has to.
Mine was cost me $75.
Well, what's a ream of paper cost?
Yeah, I don't know how much a ream of paper costs, but they get them by great volumes. All right. But according to proportions, let's go to the next one, 7:21. But the one with oath-taking, swearing in by the rules, abiding by the rules, okay, by the agency of saying to him, he swore the Lord, all right, Kyrios, all right. Now, if you'll watch these videos, when I show them in the classes, different ones I was showing them here, when it comes to, they'll say, in the name of the Lord.
This is almost a direct quote from Psalms
1. Yes, it is. Yeah. If you will pay attention, when they come to the name of Jehovah, they will not speak the name Jehovah. Well, we say, let's say Jehovah. Jehovah. That sounds so easy, doesn't it? That's a total fabrication. You can't say the name Jehovah. I've shown you, some of you, I've shown this to you before, but others I have not, so I'll do it again. All right. This is how ridiculous it is to try to say the name Jehovah. All right. Now, let's say that.
Jehovah.
Jehovah. All right. Now, if you take the vowels out, which are not in that name, now say it. How are you going to say that name? You can't say it. You can't do it. Even if you look, now let's look at a simple one right here like this. Say that.
Jesus.
Jesus. Now if you took the vowels out of it, how would you say that name? You can't do it. Well, the Hebrews never pointed the name of God. And they always referred to Him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, which is what term? Adonai. They referred to him as the Word or the name. And today, when the Jews talk about God, they will write the word G and they will write the word D.
A dash.
Yeah. And sometimes leave a dash in there. You know why? When did the Jews quit using the name Jehovah? I knew. Yes. We know that in the book of Exodus, that even Pharaoh knew how to say the name Jehovah. But after they gave the law to Israel, Moses gave the law to Israel, said, thou shalt not, what? Use the Lord thy name, thy God's name in vain. So they never spoke his name again. They were afraid to. They were afraid to.
How did it become Jehovah then?
King James. King James. King James.
Okay, so Jehovah really doesn't exist.
No, the name Jehovah doesn't really exist. We don't know how to say that name at all.
Well, after the Israelites built that
the calf, the golden calf, they called it Jehovah. They called it Jehovah, but they hadn't got the law all the way yet, had either, did they? They said, Aaron said, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. And they said, oh, Jehovah. Talk about a bad situation. That's why he killed a bunch of them. All right. Let's go on now. 7:21.
So what I was saying, when you say it means that he shall become.
That's what it means. It comes from Hayah, the verb. We don't know how to say the name Jehovah. But when we see it, we know it. In Hebrew, we know what the name is, and they call it the name or the word. All right. The whole story was, in the Old Testament, when the scribes were writing the Hebrew Old Testament, if they made a mistake, they had to destroy the manuscript. You've heard that before. Okay, that's not what they did.
Special pen like that.
If they made a mistake in the name of God, on the name Jehovah, they had to bury the manuscript.
Wow.
You can make a mistake and you could correct it, rub it out and correct it. But you couldn't make a mistake with the name of God. That was too holy. And they had to write his name with a special pen. And they refer to him. If you'll see here, it'll say, Holiness to the Lord. Right on the mitre of the high priest. And you'll see that in the videos that I have. But they do not say holiness to Jehovah. They say holiness to Adonai. Kadesh Adonai. All right. They don't say Jehovah. Because they don't know how to say the name. We use it so easily,
but we don't even know how to say it. We're going to learn how to say it one of these days. We're going to learn how to say it. All right. But the one with an oath-taking, Brother Randall, do you have an Amplified Bible with you? He's my Amplified Bible guy. Let's read this. Now, this is a positive statement in the place of the negative statement in verse 20. Okay? This is a positive statement. Go ahead, brother. Verse 21.
For those who formerly became priests received their office without its being confirmed by the taking of an oath by God. But this one was designated and addressed and saluted with an oath. The Lord has sworn and will not regret it or change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
All right. Priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He swore. Now, the only Aaron and his sons originally took the oath, and they were consecrated. Okay? Then from then on, it was that oath was recognized by all the rest from that time on. Now, the high priest, when they came in, they had to take an oath. But the average priest did not. All right? But they had to meet their requirements, and they had to be related.
Is this a direct quote from the Septuagint?
It probably is a direct quote from Septuagint. We're going to find out where the guy makes a mistake here in a couple of verses on down. He makes a mistake with he uses the wrong word from the Septuagint. Psalm 110, verse 4, Hebrews 5 and 6, 7:17, Numbers 23 and verse 19, and 1 Samuel 15, 29, Romans 11, 29, Hebrews 7, 23 through 7, 28. Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you. Well, I tell you one thing, you sure hear a lot better than I can.
I couldn't hear it. We
never heard
it.
Leah, did you hear? Okay, holler at me.
You might want to do
it. I
only have about, at the most, 10 or 15% hearing. I do real good reading lips.
You don't want to give all your references on it.
Okay. Psalm 110, verse 4. Hebrews 5 and 6. Hebrews 7:17, Numbers 23:19, 1 Samuel 15:29, Romans 11:29, and Hebrews 7:23 through 7:28. That's the cross reference to this. Okay. Go back over it again. But the one with oath taking through the agency of saying to him, he swore the Lord, and it's talking about Jehovah. All right. And not he shall change or be caused to change his mind. Nothing's going to change God's mind about who the high priest is today. Not going to happen. You, the priest, unto the age. You, the priest, unto the age. That word ace there. Ace is a preposition. You can look it up on page 119. What is a grammatical rule for ace? Can anybody remember that yet?
Extension
or limitation of thought or verbal action. This is something that you need to memorize in your head. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It means it can go backwards, it can go forwards, and this way it goes beyond. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. What it means here is you are a priest forever, beyond all age. Beyond every age. All right? Beyond every age. 7:22. Jesus is our sponsor. Jesus is our sponsor. He's our guarantee. Kata. To soto. Kai. Kratonos. Diathekes. Gegonin. Igus. Asus. All right. This is a short, very short verse, but it's a very powerful verse.
How come in the word angelos, the double gamma produces that sound, but here it doesn't?
It's the word.
Is it for you?
It's just the word. It's for the word. You could Yongus or whatever. Now it's spelled two different ways actually. You can spell this as epsilon gamma gamma, epsilon omicron sigma, or omicron epsilon sigma. It can go either way. Okay, you can see that word spelled either way. But let's go back up. It's only used one time in the New Testament like this. This is it. Okay, it's a very rare word. Some of the scribes didn't even know how to write it. Because they've never run across this word before.
So is there a rule on the double gamma? Or
the alpha with the double gamma is angelos in that name. In angel. Angelos. Okay.
Is that the only time that's the case?
I can't tell you right off the bat.
Okay.
But it doesn't always do that.
So there's an exception to that.
Yeah. Okay. It just... I can't think of... Right off the bat, I can't think of it. All right, let's go along here. Kata. Kata is, that's a little preposition, page 213. And it is a preposition of place sometimes, and others it's down under, and also according to. Right here it's according to. According to so much great. Now this word... Tosoto, there is a, comes from Tosos. You can look it up on page 407, by the way. It means a great separation of quantity. It means to separate something completely from something else. How much greater is Jesus than the average high priest? That's what it means. It means greatly separated. According to so much greater, a great separation of quantity and lengthened. It's an extremely demonstrative form of tosos. Okay, it's demonstrating a great separation. All right, and have you still got your Amplified Bible open, Randall? We'll look at that in just a moment too. By so much indeed. Here we have a particle of affirmation, page 208. Look how this writer uses chi. Look at how he's using the different translations of chi in different forms. Before, we had but, now we have indeed. Okay? Or amen. It's just like amen. A particle of affirmation. All right. Better. A comparative. You could even put the better in front of it if you wanted to. The better covenant. It has become. Sponsor, he has become. He has become a sponsor. That means a guarantee, a surety, a pledge. It literally means the hollow of the hand. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You ever heard that old term? The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A bird in the hand is worth two of them out there. A bird in the hand is, you got it. Out there in the bush, you may knock down two birds, but you got to find them. Okay? All right? Now, the Son of God, Jesus is God's pledge to man, and man's pledge to God. He is real estate. He is cash on the barrelhead. He is real surety. All right? Remember, fall of gold, the sure hope, the El peace, the guaranteed future existence. Right here it explains that. Jesus is our absolute hope. And the Vulgate, it uses the word sponsor. In Latin, sponsor. That word, eugus. Or eugus. It is sponsor. He is our surety. He is our guarantee. All right? Everyone going to get to heaven. When you go to heaven, what are you going to say? How come you're going to get to heaven? You have any idea?
Through the blood of Jesus.
Through the blood of Jesus. He's our sponsor. He's our guarantee. He's our guarantor. All right. Aaron's priest died, but our priest lives forever, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's priest died, our priest lives forever. Let's go one more verse. Number 23. Kai?
Hoi?
Come on, guys, girls.
man. Man. Pleones. Now, I'm not going to. Pleones. That's a hard one. Okay. Asin. Gagon non notes. Heres. Thea. Okay. To. Thonato. Koleuste. And then para menane. Let's look at this one. Philippians 1:25 is cross-reference to this. But the ones indeed many, there were many priests, weren't they? And many high priests. They are. By the way, that word asin there, look at that little word asin. See that? It's got an N on the, a nu on the end of that. That's a movable nu sometimes. Sometimes it'll be esi. But here's asin. Gego non notes. Many they have become. All right? Having become. Priest. Because of the death. Death prevented them from lasting and holding the office, didn't it? You know, the nation of Israel and the other priests were so afraid that the priest, when he was ministering into the holy place here, or the Holy of Holies, they were afraid that he would die if he got into the Holy of Holies. And he could die. Maybe he didn't confess all his sins. And he would die in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Okay? He would die. God would strike him dead, like he did those two boys. Aaron's sons, remember? Nadab and Abihu. They died. Dropped dead. They were afraid that because they were human, they might die. So what kind of precaution did they make when they sent them in there on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur? They what? They had bells on the robes. They could tell if they were still moving in there. What else did they? They had a rope on his leg. They had a rope on his leg. Because they couldn't go in after him. Could they? If he died, you're going to go in the Holy of Holies? Mm-hmm. Oh, so they drug him out with a rope. Just drug him out. Hope he come by.
Do you think that ever happened? Where they had to drag him out?
I don't see it ever did, but but they made a provision for it, didn't they? Because he was fragile. Mm-hmm. Our human bodies are fragile. We need to remember that every day. 7 years ago, a little over 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I knew that every moment, every day, every year that I lived after that was a gift. When you're diagnosed with cancer, that's a death sentence, people. It usually kills you. It does. You don't usually get by with it. But I knew one thing all the time, that God wouldn't take me home until my race is run. And I'm still running it. I'm not going real fast. But I'm still running it. We are all fragile, aren't we? I look back in history and I look back at my teachers. Some of them lived to be old. Brother Travis Hubbard, my Greek teacher and Hebrew teacher and advanced theology, he taught me English etymology and pneumatology, which is the study of spirits and all that. He lived to be about 88 years old. He taught in the seminary until he was about 86. He didn't even know where he was. He had dementia so bad. He lived in Lancaster, California, and he drove to Fresno to the seminary up there, and he taught Greek and Hebrew and English etymology. He couldn't get to his classroom. Somebody had to lead him by hand and put him in the classroom at last. Finally, his daughter came from Shawnee, Oklahoma, and took him back there.
Why drive so far for him?
He just did. That's where he wanted to live, in Lancaster. But he drove back and forth. He'd go up there. He'd stay Monday through Wednesday. He'd go up there on Sunday night and come back Wednesday. He lived all those years. But Dr. Martin Canavan, Roy Reed, these people died young. They died young. And they were great men too. But you know what? All of them ran the races. I looked at
one of my students and one of my self, or one of my fellow students and one of my students in the seminary, Brother Seol. He was from Korea. Probably the smartest man I ever saw in my life. He could stand up here in front of this blackboard and he could quote scriptures in Greek and in Hebrew and Chinese and Japanese, every dialect in the Middle East, in Russian and German, and just write them. Just write them. And I was teaching Greek and Hebrew. 5 years he had his doctorate. He went back to Korea and was there for just months, wrote me a letter, thanked me so much for taking time with him and teaching him and everything like I did. Boy, he was teaching me a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And dropped dead of a stroke. Mm-hmm. Young. That man's body was like just iron. He was a, you know, karate guy. All that just, he moved just like a machine, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in those movies, you know how he does. But we are fragile. We are fragile. God gives you time today to serve Him. Aaron's priest died. All of them did. Every one of them. Did any of them ever live? We won't. We are fragile. If the Lord doesn't come back, boy, I tell you what, the way things are looking today, He might come back, but we aren't guaranteed that. We may have to go through a whole lot more. How many more generations of us? What is the date today?
25th.
What's the scripture reference for that verse? Philippians
1? Philippians 1:25. Because of death, separation hindered them to continue, to remain by. That's what word para menain there. It means to remain by. Present infinitive active from para and meno. They couldn't remain here. Now we remain for a while in this world. When you get past 6 decades and 7 decades and 8 decades and you look back, and I'm going to tell you something, there aren't very many people para menain. Remaining. We're only given a little bit of time. What time God gives us, let's do something with it. For Him. Go out and do something eternal this week. Huh? Go out and do something eternal this week with our lives. Thank you so much for enduring. I hope the Word of God is good to you tonight. And I hope you're learning a little bit of Greek as you're going along when I'm teaching you from grammar. I don't know whether I'll be able to go ahead and teach another class on it or not, so I thought I'd throw a little bit of it in our classes as we go. I know it's a little bit boring sometimes, but you can learn some things with it.
You're not boring, Jim.
All right.
You need the grammar because you just started.
All right. Well, grammar helps you in English. You don't learn English until you learn another language. I can assure you. You don't learn English until you learn another language. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to come and hear Your word preached this evening, Father. We thank You for